hoping that some of the offense that we showed second half of last year in particular would carry over. It wasn't really a large sample size to guarantee that, and then we got off to a slow start. But little by little, we've been picking it up, you know. And if you look at the offensive stats in the league, it's not like we got a bunch of guys perched up at the top. It's kind of been a cohesive effort where we're getting balance throughout from top to bottom. And, you know, you don't expect to score 6-7 runs a game for an entire season. And when you get into one of those runs, that's when you hope to take advantage and put some wins on the board.
That's your Twins manager, Paul Molitor. Molly, tough one last night for your Twins. Go to 10 innings, wind up losing 2-1. But the good thing to take out of that was the pitching. It's too bad that they wound up losing a great pitching performance by Gibson.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that you and I were talking about how Gibson is usually this up-and-down guy, but last night, that was the first run that he's given up in his last three starts now.
I think he had a string of 20 innings without allowing a run. And, it doesn't matter, but he didn't wind up taking a loss in the game. But he gave them a nice game, a very nice game. And he winds up going seven, right?
Yep.
Seven innings, one earned run, no walks, six strikeouts, just the one home run to Martinez. It was a very good outing for him. Five hits, scattered around. Blaine Boyer did a nice job for him, too, with a couple of innings. And then he wind up losing. Ryan Pressly gave up the game-winning run to Detroit. But Danny Santana, it's not like he's not getting a lot of walks, but he did. Yeah, he had another triple, one for four for him. Not a lot of hits last night. Maurer, one for four. There was a total of seven hits. Kenny Vargas had two of them.
You saw who got one of them. It's the first game back.
Yes, I did. Aaron Hicks, one
it's
for
coming.
Four.
49 points higher than his career average, so if he keeps that up, we should be happy.
Actually, if he did 250, that'd be a huge leap up for him.
Yeah, there's hope for him yet.
Well, I'm still a skeptic. I'm not ready to buy into that one just yet. You know, there's a lot to talk about today. Actually, we're going to talk more Twins. We'll have Al Newman on with us and also Pete Wagner. They both do that show that you produce on Saturdays, On Deck Radio.
Yeah.
With Gene Larkin, a iconic name in Minnesota sports history.
I already had something to do
hit,
with the World
game
Series
seven.
One time.
Well, if he didn't have that hit, it's possible Jack Morris would not have registered the greatest winning performance in a World Series. You never know. It could still be playing. But they'll be on with us. Dave St. Peter, the Twins president, will join us. We got a lot of baseball to talk today. To talk about, we're going to talk to Jeff Anderson from the Vikings about. Now, did you hear this story? 14 teams in the NFL have been paid money to have patriotic themes, mm-hmm. pregame stuff.
The Vikings got one of them.
Yeah, out of, I think over two or three seasons got $600,000. The Falcons got $1 million. We'll talk to Jeff about that just to put it in some perspective, because it just seems like, the National Guard seems very willing to do it to promote themselves, but you just wonder, why do you have to pay for a patriotic type of deal? Jeff's always good at putting things in perspective. We'll talk to him. Jim Suhan, of course, we always talk to him every day at 3:30. John Tower, Tommy's basketball coach and psychology professor. I want to talk to him about what's going on in the NBA playoffs and just how LeBron is just, he's pretty darn good.
That'll happen.
That's one way to put it. The best story, there's a lot of good stories out here today. And Deflategate, it has legs. You know, it was the Wells Report, Ted Wells. Mm-hmm. He did something he has rarely, if ever, done related to the NFL. He came out, held a news conference. He fired back at Tom Brady's supporters, the agent Don Yee, who made accusations that Wells was biased, and his Deflategate investigation, the Wells one, was a sting operation. The man was pissed, and I don't blame him, because they stand on the sideline. They're doing everything they can to enable Tom Brady and to try to keep his image pristine. It's not. He cheated.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to twist or turn the fact that he did have inflated balls. And I know we have, is it Greg that calls in? He's the Patriots fan.
Yep.
And he makes good arguments. However, A.J. Feely, now this goes back over 10 years. A.J. Feely, former quarterback, he talked to a Philadelphia radio station And what he talked about is that there was a game in 2004, well, just his comments here. I was on the sidelines, and I noticed that somehow this beat-up ball from the ball boy was getting thrown in for New England. Yet when we were on offense, the orange brand-new ball was getting thrown in. This is before they had the, you know, all new balls for both teams, mm-hmm. and you could work them up a little bit, you know, but this was different. They had like an old practice ball that they used because probably what Brady wanted. So it would suggest they've been doing this for a very long time. That year, by the way, they won their second straight Super Bowl. The Patriots did. And Feely said he said something to the ball boy, and he kind of gave me a smirk. At the time, I tried to address it with the coaches, but everyone was like, oh, that doesn't make a difference, or who cares about that? You're looking at some stuff that really doesn't matter. Now, there would be people now who'd make that same argument that it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm kind of one of them.
Except for this, it seems trivial, but it is a breaking of the rules. And I, you know, and people are coming up and can come up with arguments about other rules that seem trivial and are broken and they weren't, you know, and there were no penalties. But this one was so high profile, the league had to do something. They could not ignore this. And now, oh, by the way, let me give you the latest tally for these dopes who are spending money to pay the $1 million fine for a billion or, I think Bob Kraft is worth about $4 billion. But they're raising money. They're up to $14,615, and that's 1,047 people. Rebecca Weiss, 3 minutes ago, just chipped in $10, and she said, love you, Patriots and Brady. Haters gonna hate. A lot of gals putting money in. Before that, somebody named Penelope Seal, $12. We scored 14 points with deflated footballs and 28 points with inflated footballs. I'm just glad someone found the problem. Classic. Love it. Go Pats.
I think that's pronounced Penelope.
Penelope?
Yeah.
Penelope. Could be. And then Andrea Gillen, $12. No Brady, no banner. There are a lot of women giving money. Men too, certainly.
12 for number 12? Is that what everybody's doing?
You know what? That's probably what it is. It's going to be a long way getting to a million, chipping in $12 at a time. Somebody should come up with the big, come up with the thousand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a 12 in it, right? There's a one and a two in there. The well, the other story that caught, there's a few that caught my eye. One of them, see Bobby Bowden, the old coach from Florida State. Now that Winston's gone, he's unleashing. He said that Winston was an embarrassment to Florida State. He said, I think it's a consensus among Florida State fans and boosters that Winston was an embarrassment in a lot of ways to the university. Where were you during the season with this?
Nobody wants to say anything when he's there and winning games.
Yeah, well, actually, Bowden said he won a lot of games. Probably one of the best football players that ever attended Florida State. Brady hurt himself off the field. The good news is he's young to get enough to get over it, but he's got to do that. He just can't make those junior high school decisions that he made when he was in college. Well, he's absolutely right about that. But I just like when these guys, they, you know, probably felt he couldn't go after him when he was at school because maybe the school would cut his retirement or whatever stipend he gets for showing up at things. I don't want to dog the guy, though, because I don't have a problem with what he's saying. Jerry Jones, you know, this is not dying, the whole Adrian Peterson thing. Mm-hmm. This happened a few days ago. Jerry Jones was interviewed, and he said that he's willing to trade his 2016 first-round pick for a player that can put them over the top. Well, who would that player be? I say there's one that can do it.
I think we could narrow it down to at least one.
Yeah.
Most many
I think
Minnesota
AP
fans
would be the guy.
Know.
Yeah. And, you know, Vikings say they want to keep AP, and it appears they do based on Ben Dagra, the agent for AP, the way he's been talking lately. Because he sounds like a guy that he's given in and decided this guy's going to be there, he's going to try to get his money. But now, after hearing Jones, he may try getting that going again.
He might try to get it going, but he's got to realize at this point that we pretty much, the Vikings have laid down their firm hand saying this is not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened a couple weeks ago.
Yes and no, though. I thought it would happen during the draft. However, to get a first-round pick, which was one of the things they wanted, I think that Jerry Jones is far more inclined now to trade these future picks because he's got a 35, 36-year-old quarterback. He knows his window is going to start slamming shut. He needed certain guys he wanted to get in the draft to, you know, fill in holes. He may decide to mortgage a little bit of the future.
And he ended up with Darren McFadden still as his number one back.
Which McFadden probably has had some of the best potential you've seen on a running back, but it's not come to fruition. He's always getting banged up or, mm-hmm. you know, or something is always preventing him from coming through. Now, that said, who knows, maybe if he's the guy with that offensive line, he could wind up running for 1,500 or more yards.
Maybe he could. I've always thought McFadden runs a little too tall. He doesn't have, like, low center of gravity and stay lower to the ground. He leaves his legs wide open to get hit, and he's had a lot of ankle issues and things like that.
He doesn't need that with that line in front of him, how high he runs, because they're going to plow people out of the way. That,
well,
is
that would definitely help him out. If he can put together a healthy season, especially behind that line,
and they
he can be looking at one of the best backs in the league.
Well, and look what they added. They added Lyle Collins, who probably will be their left guard. That's what they're looking at. You know, the guy who went undrafted because the that murder investigation coincided for him. At the time, he might have been good. He got good money out of it. Mm-hmm. And not money he would have gotten if he was a top 10 pick, but he got the kind of money you would hope to get if you're a second round pick. So he didn't do too shabbily there. That one is, that's going to be an interesting one to watch, because I like DeMarco Murray, but he's not in Adrian Peterson's class.
No.
Yet he ran for a league best 1800 and change.
If he was in Adrian Peterson's class, you would have seen him do this in previous years.
And he would have had over 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
I you know, just as a football fan, I would love to see AP run behind that Cowboys line.
It would definitely be interesting and pretty exciting to watch, especially with a guy like Dez Bryant to kind of stretch the field and keep all possibilities open.
Well, and Bryant said that that would put them over the top, too. He's right about that. There's little question. Now, oh, by the way, Brady, he has until tomorrow to appeal.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to appeal.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt about that.
He's getting all his ducks in a row right now.
Yes, and well, we'll see what happens with that. Whoever they name as the arbitrator, it's likely to wind up in court, no matter what the arbitrator says, which, in all likelihood, the arbitrator appointed by the league will stand behind the Wells report. And then there's this, you know, how shocking that, remember Lindsey Vonn and Tiger Woods broke up?
Mm-hmm.
How shocking that the reports now are that they split because Tiger was running around on her. He was cheating. Really, a guy who cheated on his wife with about 30 women at once suddenly gets caught cheating on his new girlfriend?
You mean at once, like at the same time? Like a 31-some?
I think he was capable of. He hopscotched around. Whatever the number was.
Yeah, that's not really not really a shocker, is it?
No, but how about this one? There's a former Hollywood madam who said between 2006 and 2007, Tiger paid upwards of $40,000 for six, quote, pay-for-sex dates. Also spent $15,000 for a date with a woman named Lordana Jolie for one night in Manhattan. That must have been one hell of a night. And then a friend of Tiger's said, you know, his cheating, it's just a stress reliever, like a highball or two after a bad day.
Yeah.
See, but you know what? I understand that mentality because I have seen it with athletes. To them, a lot of these, I mean, put it this way. There's an athlete or two who's cheated down through the years. And to them, it's like it's like that or like a game of racquetball. It means nothing to them emotionally, even though it's devastating to their wives and girlfriends. To them, it means absolutely nothing. It's a workout.
It's blowing off steam.
Yes, in a manner of speaking. If you want to characterize it like that, we'll go with that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by John Tower, St. Thomas basketball coach and psychology professor at St. Thomas. That's why we like to talk to John, because he has a perspective as a coach and a psychology professor. And some of these things are interesting going on. Well, not only in the NBA, but the NHL playoffs, too. We'll talk to John when we return. We're back, and we're joined by John Tower, the coach at St. Thomas men's basketball team, also a psychology professor there. John, how are you?
Great, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. You know, what's amazing to me, and I've seen this happen before, James Harden had to get an IV yesterday, and he's answering the post-game questions. He had coughs, and he sniffled between questions. I think he felt the way I do today. But if I could have a fraction as good of a show as he had a game, you know, you've probably seen this, and I don't know what it is about athletes sometimes when they have the flu or a cold, and they just have monster games. He had 26 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, leads Houston 124-103 over the Clippers. Makes it now the Clippers could have they could have closed out Houston. Now Houston's 2-3 and 3-2 for the Clippers. This thing could go the distance yet.
Oh, I think it's a great series. They all shape up to be intriguing. And, you know, Harden, there are times where athletes, sometimes it can just distract you enough. Obviously, you don't want to be on your deathbed, but having something else to worry about and not worrying about your performance, there are lots of times where guys will talk about, you know, I was just so focused on preserving energy and just staying in the moment that they're less distracted. So I certainly don't think anybody would want to play with the flu every night, but on a, you know, kind of a limited basis, there are certainly a lot of stories of, you know, Michael Jordan's flu game is the most notorious, but it's not necessarily out of nowhere.
Well, imagine if LeBron had been sick, the numbers he would have put up last night in that game. 38 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. He lifted Cleveland 106-101 over Chicago. Now, John, because I know you follow basketball beyond, you know, the games you play, the D3 level. Who do you see as the team to? Is it the Clippers? Is it? I'd like to see Houston win. I know a lot of people are down on McHale for what he did here, but I always liked him as a guy. He just seemed like he's a good guy. You know, he didn't make great decisions necessarily when he was running the Timberwolves, but I think that is, you know, if you get to, did you know him very much, very well at all?
You know, a little bit, not incredibly well. You know, it's funny you ask. Over the weekend, I was at a coaching clinic in Las Vegas and had the good fortune to have about a 3-hour dinner with Bill Walton, who was a speaker there. And so Walton was one of McHale's teammates, and he said he was the second toughest guy he's ever guarded. You know, they were only teammates for 2 years.
Yep.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the best, but he said McHale was the second toughest guy he ever played against in terms of stopping. And, you know, I think McHale has had pretty good records wherever he's been. Houston's a tough matchup, so are the Clippers. I mean, you look right now at the West, and we talked about this a little last week. I think I wouldn't call it parity because sometimes that implies mediocrity, but there really is. You know, I wouldn't wager a whole lot of money on any of these teams. One night Golden State looks unbelievable, and they win 67 games, and then, you know, they lose a couple. Memphis is really, really good, and I think they, you know, the posts they have, and with Conley back healthy, it promises to be an intriguing playoff. I've always thought LeBron, you know, even before he won titles, I've loved the way he plays the game. But the Bulls are not going to go down easily either.
No, and the games tonight, Washington, Atlanta, and then Memphis, Golden State, they're both knotted at 2-2. So, I mean, there are some great series going on in the NBA right now.
There really are, and I think Atlanta may not be quite as good as a regular season record. If John Wall doesn't play for the Wizards, I'd be surprised if they can piece together. They'd have to win at least one more time in Atlanta, so I think they'll probably get through it. But Memphis, Golden State, I mean, this is a game that, you know, Game 5, there's ridiculous stats on the percent of times, you know, a team, obviously you win Game 5, you're going to have to be beaten twice, but these are really, in many ways, the pivotal game of the series.
Well, they say, though, that Wall's a game-time decision. So, I mean, if he's that close, he could be playing in the next game for him Game 6.
That's the interesting thing about this playoff. There have been a lot of guys, you know, between Mike Conley, who was banged up, and, you know, now Wall and a handful of others. Gasol hasn't played for the Bulls, and they've still played the Cavs really tough. When you look at all those injuries, and certainly the Wizards are probably thinking, all right, do we play him tonight, or we try and rest him and get him back healthy for Game 6 and win at home and try and get back to Game 7. You know, the Clippers have been dealing with the same thing with Chris Paul. So you look at a lot of these teams' top guards, and they've been pretty tenuous from a health standpoint.
Talking to John Tower, the coach at St. Thomas, also a psychology professor there. John, the problem is with Wall, and you've probably had injuries like this. I mean, he's got a fractured left wrist. Even if he plays, how effective can you be with that thing taped up, you know, as tight as it can be? I'm sure that's what he would not be going on with nothing on his wrist. He's going to be taped up pretty severely, I would think.
Well, that's right, and it's, you know, even if it's not your shooting hand, it's probably going to affect how much of a threat you are in a lot of different ways, where that's the other thing the coach has to evaluate. You know, somebody like Chris Paul with the hamstring, you have to look at, is this a nagging thing that's going to keep getting worse and we got to shut him down for a week? With Wall, it's probably going to be a pain threshold, but it's also going to be, can he actually do something on offense, or does he become a liability? Because the reality is they've done, you know, I think I saw they were 10-40 over the last 5 years without him, and they've actually done okay in the playoffs, you know, in the short time that he hasn't played. So there are a lot of factors that go into it, and, you know, you got to trust that they know what the right thing to do is at the end of the day.
John, in your years of coaching, what was the – I mean, obviously, when it's like a blown knee, you're not going to play, but what was the injury that concerned you the most, because it could linger? Is it the hamstring, or was it like, you know, like a sprained ankle, or I guess it's a high ankle sprain, it's never a good thing, but is there one that you just could never get a handle on?
You're talking from a coaching standpoint
for a play, you know, for players,
yeah,
that you could not count and know when they're going to ever come back.
Well, I think, you know, they fall in two categories. One is, we always talk to guys about, you're either hurt or you're injured, you know, and if you're hurt, you can usually play through that. If you're injured, you can't. So if you sprain your ankle, but the trainer says that you can go, but it's going to be painful, you may know it's going to be re-aggravated, but if there's 3 weeks left in the season, you might say, you know what, this is what I've worked for all season. I'm not sitting out now. On the other hand, it's something like a hamstring. I mean, that's not going to heal quickly or easily. And probably today, Bob, the other category are the concussions. And that's the one you know, we have no say over. Our trainers do a great job of diagnosing and treating, but the amount of time that guys have to be out after a concussion and the recovery time is so unpredictable. I mean, we had one of those this year with a player, and it's obviously the research shows just how important it is to be really conservative. At the same time, there are athletes who say, I'm absolutely fine, and until they get cleared, they can't play. So I think that's probably, it's not one that we ever make decisions on. That's the nice thing as a coach, is you really leave that to the training staff and know that when a guy's cleared, you have to trust that he can go. But those are some of the more difficult ones. You know, the blown out knee, you just know, all right, here's the ramifications of that. That's pretty clear. But,
well, you know, it's interesting when you mention concussions in basketball, because in baseball, I mean, a guy gets beamed. You know, usually when it's in baseball or football from a hard collision, hockey, the same thing. But in basketball, I mean, is it tough to know? I mean, a kid could get hit in the with an elbow to the head and you just don't notice it or see it. Would you take a guy out if you see him the least bit groggy coming down the court, or how do you look and say, let's get this guy out of here to check him? Because it's not obvious. He's not like a guy going down and hit his head on the hardwood.
Right, because it's not always on the open. I mean, the one this year, quite frankly, we had a young man who was driving doing an internship interview one morning in rush hour, and he got sideswiped by a semi. So it could have been way worse. I mean, that was very different, and fortunately he's okay. But normally in a game, you know, you may see some head-to-head contact on a rebound or a loose ball. Something like that would be the most obvious. But then there are other times where you just kind of see a guy's not all there and he's looking. Now, sometimes that's because my play calls are bad and they look a little bit weird-eyed. But more often than not, you can just tell and you ask him, and maybe he's got the flu, but he might also say, you know, I got an elbow. And the trainers, you know, all our trainers are so good these days at really diagnosing what are the symptoms and the hot buttons to look for. Because, you know, we certainly know that the 10, 20-year ramifications are not worth taking any chances.
No, not at all. Now, John, you've got your camps are going to be starting within the next month, right?
Yeah, June 8th we start up. In fact, we're a couple of them are full now, and it just it seems to get bigger every year. But the kids, we'd love to have a lot of kids out at the University of St. Thomas playing ball this summer. So if people are interested, they can check out our website, johnnytowerbasketball.com, and it's always it's a fun play. You can come over and shoot some jumpers if you ever want, Bob, if you get tired of playing golf.
I stopped playing golf a long time ago, A, because I sucked at it, but B, when I started having kids. And John, right now, I used to actually have a decent vertical. Now it's probably, well, I don't know where you can slip a piece of paper under my vertical.
High school coach used to tell me the same thing. He'd say, Tower, you can't pass the paper test. And I didn't know what it was. And then he explained it to me in front of everybody. And
that was what he meant, the vertical, putting paper underneath your shoe, your sneaker.
Absolutely. He's probably right.
Hellboy here, because he ran the 4.5 40. He's an incredible athlete. Now, what was your vertical? 60, 61? What was it?
Just 30.
30?
Yeah. Meters.
Meters, okay. He's quite the athlete here.
We could sign him up. We could use him.
Do you have eligibility left?
I do.
Now, what were you, a point guard?
Point guard, two guard. Defense is where I excelled.
You know what? And John, he's got the D3 size, too. He looks like he'd be a D3 player.
This is the first time that we've actively recruited somebody on a radio program, and I don't know if we're violating any rules here, but I have a feeling that we could use him in our lineup.
Now, the thing about him is, do you have rules about hair? Do you have to keep your hair well? Because
I'll wear a headband.
It's really messy. I mean, it's all over the place.
You know the famous story with Bill Walton and John Wooden on that one, when Wooden called him in, he had no facial hair policy, and Walton was kind of this grateful dead. Yeah. He's an independent thinker, the National Player of the Year, and he came in and said, Coach, I feel adamant. I'm keeping the hair, and Coach just said, great, Bill, we're really going to miss you around here. And he shook his hand, and Walton said, I went home having no clue if he was serious, but I didn't want to find out, and
so
I saved and came back the next day.
Oh, that's great. And also, by the way, is it June 1st when your book comes out?
Yeah, book on youth sports and parents, so we'll have a link on websites to that as well, and really excited to both get the book out, but also talking to a lot of youth organizations and businesses, different groups very interested in youth sports and motivation and what parents can do to to help or hinder kids' experience these days.
Well, very neat. Make sure they know to listen to 105theticket.com when you're on and even when you're not.
Absolutely.
All right, John. John Tower, coach of St. Thomas and psychology professor there. Oh, love talking to you, John. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great day.
You too. Take a quick break. Come back. Little threesome coming up. Three incredible questions. And we'll try to have decent answers for you. We'll be right back.
Three, oh, it's the magic number.
That doesn't sound good. I mean, it sounds a little, hopefully the guy's okay.
Yeah.
The fact that they put him on, okay, I can kill the music for a second. The fact that they put him on that non-injury list, it sounds like they're keeping him to help him out with NFL insurance. I don't know. I mean, I could be completely off base, but you don't usually put a guy on that when he's going to retire. Well, he'll be done playing football.
They said it was just something that kind of just popped up. It wasn't anything due to playing football, and it's...
Yeah, I mean, but it could be... There's a lot of maladies out there that you can deal with or contract.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he's okay or will be okay. I didn't know him very... Well, I didn't know him at all. I saw him, and I was in, like, around an interview when he would... The few times he would talk, but it seemed like a decent enough... fella. By the way, Greg called earlier, our Patriots correspondent. We didn't see, but you know, we didn't have a chance to get to you, and I know you've got plenty to say, but we'll be talking about Deflategate for a while. Tomorrow, when Brady files his appeal, give us a call again. Also, we got some Saints tickets. Monday, there's a they have an exhibition game, a pair of tickets for that if you want them. Or we also have the this weekend at CHS Field, there's a, what's it called, the Grill?
Grill Fest.
The Grill Fest. They're having that there, too. We've got some tickets for that. If you're interested, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. We may put you to work and have you answer one of these three questions we have. But if you're a Saints fan, you know what? The new stadium is, I've not been in it, but I've seen the photos. It looks like a great a venue. It's going to be fun. Well, let's see our first question. What is it?
Attention, Bob. I have three questions for you. Number one, what can the NBA do to get rid of the hack-a-shack technique?
I don't know if they want to get rid of it. It's part of the game.
Why wouldn't they, though? I mean, it's getting to an obscene level. Like, Dwight Howard got fouled after an inbounds pass. Jason Terry brought the ball across the court, and a guy walked over to Howard nowhere near the ball and just grabbed him.
The problem is the, I mean, this is obviously, it's a story in the news. GMs in the NBA aren't united on what they want to do with it. There's no consensus to change the rule. You know, basically it's, you know, you intentionally foul the bad free throw shooter, which is part, to me, that's part of the game.
But this was at the end of the third quarter with about 2.5 minutes to go.
No, I understand it, but I mean, then you call it technical if it's flagrant. You know, if it's absolutely, you know, out of bounds and it's flagrant. They have the right to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, fouling a guy that's a lousy shooter, get better at it. Be a better free throw shooter.
That is one way to go. I just think they got to do something just to kind of speed up the game a little bit when there's so many stoppages. I've always said the last 2 minutes of a basketball game is the longest 2 minutes in all of sports.
Now, how about this one, by the way? There's data that the shared with the GMs at the meet. They had a GM meeting while they're in the midst of it. 76% of the intentional fouls this season, regular season and playoffs, have been committed against five players: DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, Josh Smith, Joey Dorsey, and Andre Drummond. Five guys account for more than two or three quarters of these hack-a-shack plays. Let's see who's on there. Who is that?
Got Dan from Egan.
Dan, how are you? You want those tickets to the game Monday, or you want the Grill Fest?
Monday.
They're yours. Now, where are you on the hack-a-shack? Have you been following it?
A little bit.
I think it's part of the game. If you be a better free throw shooter, and you're not going to put yourself in play like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you waited with that. You know what? Thanks. Enjoy the game. He won him for that. That yeah was put it over the top. What else you got here?
Number two.
Yes, sir.
A source says Tom Brady will not miss a single game. Is this a possibility?
That would only be a possibility if it went to court. And we'll be joined later in the week. Friday, Barbara Behrens. She was part of the local team of attorneys who represented the NFLPA in the Adrian Peterson case. She's in meetings all day, but she's going to join us because then we'll know tomorrow. We'll certainly know about the, you know, Brady's appeal, and we'll have an idea. They'll probably announce maybe by Friday, who is going to be the arbitrator. So we'll have a lot more information then, and she'll be able to fill us in, because she would have a pretty good handle on whether or not it's going to go to court and what she thinks the chances are. I do think if it goes to court, that would be an opportunity for it to be overturned, especially if he goes in front of Judge Doty. He's not known for siding with the NFL. Yeah. He's very much a player's judge.
So that Tom Brady also brought in one of the lawyers that helped Adrian Peterson get that.
Jeffrey Kessler?
Yeah. So the anonymous source was just saying that with the good lawyer and Don Yee being the agent and everything.
Don Yee never shuts up.
Yeah. He's just going to keep bitching until he gets his way?
Well, what he's going to try to do, he's trying to get public opinion to sway in favor of his client. Here's the problem. Every Patriot fan is already in Brady's corner. He's not going to change the other people. So many people hate the Patriots. I mean, take a step back. The Cowboys used to be universally hated by people.
Yeah, I think part of that is people kept calling them America's team.
Yeah.
And America's shouting, no, they're not.
No, they're not. But I honestly can't think of another team that has been as hated as the Patriots are right now.
Football team?
Football team. Or any team. What other
New
team?
New York Yankees, Duke basketball. Yeah, you know these what? Are teams that
I do think
just hate it.
I think the Patriots are even more hated than right now. I think they are, because a lot of this is the Deflategate and the Spygate before that. You know, I see Daryl Thompson is out there. We'll have him come in a few minutes. We'll talk to him about what he thinks about the whole Deflategate thing. What else you got?
And finally, Alex Ovechkin guaranteed a victory over the Rangers tonight. What are your thoughts on players guaranteeing victories in big games?
This game's in New York, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they've lost a deciding game in New York in quite some time. The Rangers I'm talking about.
Yeah, they have one of the better goalies.
Yeah, they have a hell of a goalie
the last few years.
You know what? I love when guys guarantee it, because then they look heroic or they look like dopes. So either way, you can't lose.
See, I don't know which way I lean towards. Every now and then I kind of like it, but then when you start to hear it way too many times, it's kind of like, okay, just go out there and play.
I'm trying to think. How strong is Ovechkin's accent?
I don't think it's extremely strong.
I was going to say, maybe he didn't say I guarantee it. He might have said something else entirely.
They just brought a gift for warming the post.
Yeah, it sounded like that. They didn't know where else to go with it.
And then Justin tells us that Austin Wentworth has tissue clots in his legs via Chris Thomason.
What the hell is that?
Tissue clots.
Tissue clots? Is it like varicose veins?
Like blood clots?
Justin, you know what it is?
Hi.
He has no idea.
Well, it doesn't sound good.
No. Well, it might be just something that they caught. I mean, Chris Bosch had to sit out with blood clots.
Tissue clot.
It's something that can just spring up on you.
Well, the thing about it, I mean, I'm hoping the Vikings actually what they're doing is by putting him on this, it is to help him out, because that gets expensive, because he wouldn't have any insurance if he was out of football, I would think, unless they have something. They must have Cobra, too, like everyone else does, but Cobra payments are through the roof. You know what Cobra is?
No.
When you leave a company that you have insurance with, you have the opportunity to continue it, but you're paying out of your own pocket for that, for what it costs to keep the health plan. Mm. It could get astronomical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you got to have insurance. Do you have insurance?
Yeah.
Well, you're healthy, so it doesn't matter. You're a healthy guy, you know. It doesn't matter if you have it or not, because nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's ever been wrong with you.
There's a lot of people out there that beg to differ with you on that one.
Yeah, they might. By the way, did we mention McCarville?
Haven't you?
For the millions of Lynx fans out there, she has decided not to play this season for the Lynx.
Is it probably one of those overseas things where they're paying her not to play over here?
No mention of that. I've always liked Janelle since, going back to when she was at the U. She's a lot of fun. She's got a sense of humor. The team won't be as much fun without her. We'll just we'll say that and leave it at that. And you know what? Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I saw him out there. We'll invite him in. Daryl Thompson will come in. He's got an announcement to make and about a gala he's involved with. We'll talk to him about that, and we'll talk to him about some other things, too, like Deflategate, former University of Minnesota star running back, still holds the record there for rushing yards, and played 5 years, I think, in the NFL.
And it's not his fault. It was the Packers that drafted him. Not his fault.
Stop it. We'll be joined by Daryl Thompson. I got a feeling. Let me think. Has our guest ever heard this song before?
Oh, about a million times.
Daryl Thompson still holds the rushing record at the University of Minnesota. I didn't realize, Daryl, 18 years you've been doing the games. on radio, which is great. I mean, that's a lot of time. And I'd mentioned to you, I remember when you were getting recruited to go to the U. That's how old I am.
Yeah, time flies.
It does. And then you were telling me one of your daughters has already graduated from college.
Yeah.
You know, she played volleyball, played professionally a little bit too.
Right? A little bit, and she's trying to decide she's going to play a little bit more. But yeah, Dominique graduated from Madison about 4 months ago.
Now, was she playing overseas?
She played a little bit in France, and she's trying to decide if she's going to go back or not.
What a great opportunity, though, to go
overseas. I'm telling her that. You should probably go back over there and hang out with the French folks.
Now, I want to talk to you about the gala in football, but you got to give the statistic you gave me last year. You have four kids that are athletes. You have two daughters are the oldest, and then your two sons. Give the number of how many games you had in a weekend and how the number that you made, it to me, is incredible.